that Vaikuntha is Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Now we continue in 69. Tathaiva. Similarly, there's a statement in the second canto, second chapter. No, that's not second chapter. Yeah, it is second chapter. Nayatra kalo nimisham parakprabhu kutonu deva jagatam yaishire nayatra satvam navajastamascha navai vikaro namahan pradhanam. In that place, there is no supremacy of devastating time, which controls even the celestial demigods who are empowered to rule over mundane creatures. And what to speak of the demigods themselves? Nor is there the mode of material goodness, nor passion, nor ignorance, nor even the false ego, nor the material causal ocean, nor the material nature. Okay, that's a negative description. There's no material influence, nothing material in Vaikuntha. Okay, continuing, second verse. Param padam vaishnavam amanantitad yaneti netityatad utsishrikshavaha visvidya dauratmyam ananya saudhida vidopa guyarha padam pade pade. The pure devotees who are in absolute harmony with the Lord call this the supreme abode of Vishnu, intending to reject everything else with the idea, this is not it, nor this, neti neti. They give up their inappropriate attitudes and embrace to their hearts at every moment the feet of their worshipable Lord. Being desirous of giving up... could you ask them to not talk so loud? Being desirous of giving up what is not that, what is other than pure spirit. Okay, I'm sorry, that's after the translation. So you have these two verses. There, the topic is that the spirit, that Vaikuntha is Satchidananda. But the two verses quoted that are the topic verses for this anuchet are describing what Vaikuntha is not. It's not all these material things. There's no time there. There are no demigods. There are no material modes. And people realize that spiritual world, because this is talking about the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, by negating everything. It's not this, it's not that. But even the Mayavadis agree that that which has nothing material is spiritual. They're not voidists. They conceive of a real spiritual reality, but it's not supposed to have any duality, any qualities. But still they call it Satchidananda. The Mayavadis do, and so do we. So we can accept it as a good logical argument that if there's no material entities or qualities in Vaikuntha, then it must be purely spiritual. But let's see what else is said here. Now, Jiva Goswami explains these verses. Atad chidvyatiriktam. Being desirous of giving up. Let me read the rest. Atad chidvyatiriktam. Neti neti yit yevam. Utsrashtumit shavaha. The verse says, utsushrikshavaha, which may not be understandable to everyone. It's a desiderative adjective, utsushrikshu. His gloss is utsrashtum itchavaha, wanting. Itchu is also an adjective. It's also a desiderative adjective, but at least it's a little simpler. It's breaking up the compound. It's not a compound. Utsushriksh. shu. It means wanting to give up, to throw away. Utsrij, to throw up or throw away. Utsrashtum is the infinitive. Do we have a sutra for that? Why is Utsrashtum? What, that's a samprasaranam. That's a sankarshana. Srij and Drish do something funny. Really? Okay. Yeah. Yes, so Srashtum, to throw away. They want to throw away everything material, neti. And then Dauratmiyam, Bhagavad Atmanor Abheda Drishtim Visvidya. Giving up Dauratmya. Okay, now let's see, translation. Being desirous of giving up what is not that, what is other than pure spirit. They give up their bad attitude, their Dauratmyam. What's the bad attitude? Of seeing the Supreme Lord and themselves as non-different. So the Mayavadi attitude is the Dauratmyam. And doing that, giving up, arhasya Sri Bhagavatam padam chananaravindam pade pade pratikshanam hrida upaguya aslishya. They give up that bad attitude and embrace in their hearts at every step, pade pade. That means every moment. The pada, the lotus feet of the worthy one. That's arhasya, the worthy one. The Buddhists, they call Buddha arhant. Or the Jains, they have that term arhant also, the arhats, the worthy ones. So the worthy one means arhasya, where is it? Arhasya Sri Bhagavata, the divine personality of Godhead. And then having Nanyasmin Saurudam Yesham, Ananya Saurida. Compound? Nobody else, Saurida, friendship. Put it together, the compound means Nanyasmin Saurudam Yesham, Tata Buddha Santo. Yad Atmanam Jananti. Having no friendship for anyone else, Ananya Saurida. What they refer to, no, is the pada of Vishnu, the place of Vishnu. Pada can mean foot, it can also mean place, sthanam. The place of Vishnu, and that is Sri Vaikuntha. The name isn't there in the verse, but Jiva Goswami is telling us this Vaishnavam Padam is Vaikuntha. Tad Vaishnavam Padam Sri Vaikuntham iti Brahmasurupam eva tad iti tatparyam. Thus, as the tatparya, the purport, or as the implied meaning of this, Vaikuntha is identical with the Supreme Truth, Brahman, Brahmasurupa. It is Brahman itself. Vaikuntha is the Absolute Truth. Okay, I'll read the commentary. Sri Shukadeva uses negative terms here, but not for describing an empty truth. He refers to the dialectic method, not this, neti. Presented, where's that come from? Mayavadis didn't make it up. It's presented originally in the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. 236, and it's repeated several times in that Upanishad. And this, they apply this method, or actually Shukadev applies this method to the task of realizing Lord Vishnu's personal abode. Each of the negative qualities can be translated positively. Okay, these two verses are full of negative statements. And we're supposed to be discussing the positive identity of Vaikuntha as Satchitananda. But here we say, each of these negative qualities can be translated positively. There is no time in Vaikuntha, where everything exists eternally. There's your sat. There is no need for controlling demigods, who are known as vibhudas, the very wise, because that word is used in the verse, referring to the demigods. They're called very wise because to carry out their duties of universal administration, their intelligence needs to be vastly superior to that in humans. Yet that intelligence of humans. But in Vaikuntha, everyone is vibhuda. Everyone is vastly intelligent. There's your chit. There are no modes of nature to impose ignorance and unhappiness on those who know perfectly everything they desire to know and always feel satisfied in all their ambitions. So no modes of nature, no unhappiness. There's your ananda, satchit ananda. Any questions? Yes.
Can you explain how they came from the seat of the Lord, because in the verse itself, towards the embrace of the Lord's feet, the Lord, how did they extend this meaning to the Supreme Abode of Krishna?
Well, because Padam is being glossed by Jiva Goswami as, you know, he's understanding his place. Arha Padam. See, the word Padam is there twice. So there is Arha Padam, the lotus feet of the worshipable Lord, the worthy Lord. And then the other Padam is Param Padam Vaishnavam. That's the supreme place, Vaikuntha. There are two different Pada words here. In the beginning of the second verse and in the last line of the second verse, they have different meanings. Padam the first time means place, the second time means feet. They worship the Lord's feet, but they're looking to that supreme place. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti. They're always looking to Vaikuntha.
So Krishna participated in the Vaikuntha and therefore they look in that direction.
Sorry?
Because Krishna's lotus feet are at that place in Vaikuntha, therefore they look in that direction.
Well, this is describing their sadhana. They're aiming at Vaikuntha, and their way of reaching Vaikuntha is to worship the Lord's feet. Okay, those who aren't there yet, they worship the Lord's feet to get there. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Then we look at the next paragraph. Okay, continuing the discussion of those two verses. Anena prema lakshana sadhana lingena nidakara rupam artantaram nirastam. Now, this mention of practice aimed at attainment of pure love serves as evidence for refuting the contending interpretations of the supreme realm as formless. That place of Vishnu is not nirvishesha. Because we're talking about developing love in order to achieve it. If you're aiming at something near Vishesha, what do you need love for? Love is duality, loved and beloved. Okay. Atara nirakara parayanasyapi mukta falati kakrito daiv abhivyanjita gir yata. In this regard, even the author of the Mukta Phala commentary, who is an adherent of the theory of formlessness, has spoken words like the following, evoked from him by some divine favor. This is Vopadeva, a Mayavadi. He wrote a book called Mukta Phala. It's a long essay about the Bhagavatam. Not a verse-by-verse commentary. And he, inspired by some higher power, he said the right thing. What he said was, even though he's a Mayavadi, he said this. Tat padam padam vaishnavam amananti Adikrit adishtita raja adishtita tvavat brahmadi padanam api vishnuna adishtita tvat paramityuktam. Vopadeva says, they, in his Mukta Phalam, they call that supreme abode of Vishnu. They call that the supreme abode of Vishnu. That's what the verse says. He's also talking about these verses. Paramparam Vaishnavam Amananti. They call it Paramparam of Vishnu. So, Vopadeva is commenting on those words. He says, they call that the supreme abode of Vishnu. Here it is called supreme, Param. In the same way, an area ruled over by a king is distinguished from one ruled over by an authority that he has appointed. The king himself is ruling a certain part of the kingdom. That makes it special. Indeed, the abodes of Brahma and others are also under the authority of Vishnu. Okay. Everything's under the authority of Vishnu, including the places that are ruled by demigods. But there's a place where Vishnu rules himself. That's Vaikuntha. That's the supreme abode, the supreme place. Ata eva shrutava pi tasya Swamahimaika pratishtita tvam. Swa sa bhagavam hasmin pratishtita iti sve mahimni iti. Thus it is also stated in Shruti. In the Chandogya Upanishad 7th chapter. Thus it is also stated in Shruti that he stands upon his own greatness. It says, honored sir, on what does he, the supreme, stand? The answer, on his own greatness. That means he's not standing on it, nobody else is supporting him. Also, that's where is he? He's in his own Vaikuntha. And ata eva oktam ka ita veda yatra saha iti. And therefore it is said in the Katha Upanishad, who knows his real position? Okay, again referring to the place where he is. It's a place that most people don't know. Sri Shukaha, the verses under discussion were spoken by Sri Shukadeva. Those two verses from the second canto. Okay, here's some explanation in the commentary. Devotional practice is designed in its beginning phase as suitable even for persons burdened by material desires. Okay. Yet its final aim is the highest possible perfection of human life, pure love of God. Don't have to be perfect to begin devotional service, but you're supposed to be perfect when you reach the end of it. That's the aim of devotional service. It doesn't fulfill the purpose of devotional service to remain eternally a neophyte. You're supposed to become perfect. Then, in accord with its sublime goal, the sadhana of bhakti gives no place to the vision of merging into a formless supreme, so cherished by the Mayavad impersonalists. Vopadeva, the author of the Mukta Pala, a topical essay on Srimad Bhagavatam, was one of the Mayavadis. And Srila Jiva does not often cite impersonalists as authority. But occasionally he does so for special purposes. Following the principle of the classical logicians, they say, paramatam, apratishidham, anumatam. This is a famous slogan. of the logicians. When the opinion of an opponent is not specifically contradicted, it may be acknowledged. You can use your opponent's opinion when it's not contradicted. You can still use it, even though he's your opponent. At least Vopadeva, in this one sentence, manages to not disparage Vaikuntha as inferior to the Brahmajyoti, as the Mayavadis are prone to do. Elsewhere he does. He mouths the regular Mayavadi theories all over the place. But in this one sentence, he managed not to do it and didn't say that Vaikuntha is inferior. Now, Vopadeva is also famous for having written the Bhagavatam. And I think in the early 19th century, H.H. Wilson, he studied the Bhagavatam in depth and decided that Vopadeva wrote it. Because Vopadeva wrote this Mukta Phala about the Bhagavatam, so the great scholar came to the conclusion that he's the author of the Bhagavatam. And that was believed for over 100 years, until they finally figured out that that didn't make any sense. That, whoever wrote the Bhagavatam, it wasn't Vopadeva. Okay, continuing. Because no one is superior to the Supreme Lord, he stands, where does he stand? He stands on no other foundation than Swamahima, his own greatness. All other great beings, the sages and demigods in heaven, and the intellectuals and kings on the earth, they correspond. Sages and the intellectuals, they have their counterpart, the brahmanas on the earth have their counterpart among the sages on the heavenly planets. And the kings, they're just reflections of the demigods in heaven. All of them derive their greatness from him, the Supreme Lord, and are totally helpless in his hands. As it's said in the, I think, Katha Upanishad again. Oh, yeah. Kaita Vedas Yatrasaha. That's Katha Upanishad. Yasya Brahma Chakshatram Chope Bhavata Odana Vidyur Yasyopa Sechanam Kaita Veda Yatrasaha. I think this is Yamaraj speaking through Nachiketa in the Katha Upanishad. Who knows where he stands, whose meal of rice is the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, the dal poured on which is death. Okay, who knows where that person, who has the Brahmins and Kshatriyas for breakfast, where he is. That's Vaikuntha. Okay, looking at that, Kaita, who knows where he stands? That statement again. Jiva Goswami says something else. Kaita ityadi shruter artha tadvenapi spashtamaha. Expressing the idea of who knows actually where he stands. And similar shruti statements, it is said explicitly in the Bhagavatam, 29th chapter of the 4th canto, there's a statement reflecting such statements as who knows where that all-devouring Lord is. And it's said in the Bhagavatam, Swam lokam navidus tevai yatradevo janardanaha ahur dumra diyo vedam Sakarma kamatad vidaha. They do not know the world, Swamlokam, different from himself, where the Supreme Lord Janardhan resides. With clouded intelligence, they say that the Vedas teach fruitive work. Sakarmakam. They call the Vedas Sakarmakam. Sakarmakam means transitive verb that has an object. But here it's talking about the Vedas are full of karma. With clouded intelligence, they say that the Vedas teach fruitive work. That's how they, that's what they think the Vedas are, just full of karma. They have no real understanding of the Vedas. So who knows where the Supreme Lord is actually standing? Most people can't know him because they don't understand the real message of the Vedas. They take the Vedas just to be karma kanda. And people with that understanding can't understand where the Supreme is actually residing. Only devotees can understand Vaikuntha. So, discussing this verse, Jiva Goswami says, Ye dubra diyo vedam sakarmakam karma matra patipadikam padakam ahus. Those persons with clouded intelligence who say that the Vedas are fruitive, sakarmaka, that they propound only material work, do not know the world of Janardana. Janardanasya swam sarupam lokam navidu. They do not know the world of Janardana, which is himself, swam lokam. So here swam doesn't just mean his own, but it's being explained by Jiva Goswami as meaning himself. It is himself. Swam lokam. Which the world of Janardana, which is himself, because he glosses it as swarupam, identical with his own self, Vaikuntha. Kintu swagadikam eva vidu. Rather, they know worlds like swarga, only know worlds like swarga. Yatra devo janana, where the Lord, they don't know the world that belongs, that is himself, where Janardana is present, yatra, where he is. Where means in which world, yatra loke. Sri Naradaha, this verse was spoken by Sri Narada to Prachinibarhis. Old King Prachinibarhi. Then one paragraph here of commentary. Vaikuntha is the Supreme Lord's own home. And because everything in that sky is perfectly spiritual, Satchit Ananda, it is identical with him in his personal form. The same Vaikuntha is also the original and final home of all living beings. It's our home also. Persons who presume themselves followers of the Vedic path, but are confused about the goal of this path, consider Vaikuntha only mythological. It's just some exaggeration or imagination. If they consider it at all, or they don't pay any attention to it, or they've even heard of it. Doesn't talk about Vaikuntha in the Vedas. As those who read the Vedas and ignore the Puranas, they won't hear about Vaikuntha. Not by name. But they'll hear in the Rig Veda, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam. It is mentioned, but indirectly. And those words, Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam, are echoed in many Upanishads. Those words are repeated. So Vaikuntha is being talked about, but ignorant people who only see the Vedas as karmakanda can't see what's being said. And those who do not even follow the Vedas, who don't read any Vedic texts, are altogether ignorant of the one place that can give them real shelter. We need to have a Supreme Lord to worship. You also need to be in some place. You want to worship him, you have to be someplace. The Vrijvasis need Krishna to be in Vrindavan. When he leaves Vrindavan, they can't have the same relationship with him. They need to have him in a particular place, not just have him. Once he goes off to Mathura and Dwarka, it's not the same thing anymore. So we need this place. We need a place where we can do our worship of the Lord, and where He'll appear in a form that corresponds to our worship. Otherwise, we don't have a shelter. Shelter, first of all, means a place. Okay, that finishes the 19th file. Are there any questions? Yes.
Two questions. One from Supreme Lord, He stands on His own Mahima, from our hand. So, His own glory. How do you stand this?
Well, it can be understood in, I think, two different ways. One is that someone stands on his own glory means he doesn't depend on anybody else. He doesn't have to have any, he can stand in the middle of outer space. He can stand on his own glory. He doesn't need any support. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is to understand Swamahima to be Vaikuntha. That's where he is. That's where he's standing. Vaikuntha is his opulence. Yeah, that's anyway, both ways. You can read it either or both ways. Yeah, but swa doesn't mean here. Jiva Goswami takes swa not to mean belonging to him, but identical with him. It's himself, not his, but him. It's him. That's how he reads swa. You could read it the other way, but that's how Jiva Goswami chooses to read it here. Swa is also an adjective, his own. But Jiva Goswami is taking it to mean himself. It is himself. So he doesn't have any other shelter. He's standing in Vaikuntha, but Vaikuntha is him. So he's standing on himself. He doesn't have any other shelter. Yeah, just like we are standing on the earth, but the earth is not us, we're not the earth, we're little creatures living on the earth, and we are supported by it. Without it, we're just floating in outer space. We have no support. But we're different from our support. Most people are. Only someone who has everything can be his own support. Everyone else who's deficient. We all have deficiencies. We have to take support from somebody else. But someone who's completely self-sufficient can support himself. There's only one person who's completely self-sufficient.
So, do you think that there is no external reason for him to support him?
One way of looking at it, yeah. He has no external, no support outside of himself. He does a good job of supporting himself. Yes.
You have this Upadeva or Nopadeva?
Vopadeva?
Upadeva, yeah. So why does a Mayavadi gives a personal description? Is it to attract the personalist to impersonalist? To make them impersonal? Like sometimes Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, while he's telling that Vaishnavism is better, he first glorified Brahmins. Just to attract the attention of Brahmins.
Right.
So is it like Mayavadis also, sometimes they will tell personal description just to attract the personal description?
Yes. Yeah, because there are many, it's just natural for human beings to want to worship a personal supreme. And the Mayavadis know this psychology. So they're trying to attract people to their impersonal view, their view that ultimately the supreme is impersonal. But they always, starting with Shankaracharya, they acknowledge the Supreme Person, but they relativize Him. You know, this is called co-opting. You attract someone who actually doesn't agree with you. You entice him with something and use him. Someone who would be your opponent otherwise, you manage to get him under your control. So they try to get the Mayavadis try to get the mass of people who want to worship God, they say, yeah, God is fine. He's the first and best illusion. Ishvara, they don't say there's no Ishvara, only impersonal. They say that Ishvara is there, and he's supreme, and he's omniscient, but he's just an imperfect expansion of Brahman created by illusion. But yeah, go ahead and worship Bhagavan, and we can help you with that. Come join us, you can worship Bhagavan, and then we'll make you into Mayavadis. They don't negate worship of Bhagavan, they encourage it, but they want to then twist it around and turn it into something impersonal.
How fair is it to take some quotation from some work and then take it out of context and interpret it?
That's unfair. To take it out of context, well, you have to, to quote something, you're going to have to take it out of context. You can't quote the whole book. So we're lifting it out of context, but then you should fairly, with all fairness and with understanding of the text, don't just pick some quote out when you haven't read the book. You just open the book to a page and pick out a quote. You haven't read the book, you can't present yourself as an authority about it. So, first of all, see what the Mayavadis have to say, and then present it fairly, what they're actually meaning to say. And then you can criticize it. But if you take it, you distort the context, or you don't even know what the context is, then it's not fair. So Purvapaksha should be presented, any Purvapaksha, opponent's view that you mean to defeat, you should present it fairly. Let them present their argument, then defeat it. And present it accurately, what they actually mean to say. Otherwise it's cheating.
Yeah. Since the children of Islam takes this quotation out of context,
well,
the whole book is about impersonal interpretation. Then he takes one quotation and he's not contradicting.
You're saying he's doing that here?
It looks like he is.
Okay, so let's look at it and see if he's really doing that. You're saying that he's being unfair. Let's see.
Because you put this logic paramatra.
Yes, but okay, but that, there's nothing unfair in doing that. But if they, that's their problem, it's their fault if they're inconsistent and contradict themselves. If they make a statement, then they have to stand by it. If they say Vaikuntha, what did Vopadeva say? Let's look at it. You have to help me find it again. 69.2? Yeah. They call that the supreme abode of Vishnu. That abode is called supreme. Indeed, the abodes of all the demigods are also under the authority of Vishnu. Well, he's making that statement, okay? We like that statement. It fits our Siddhanta, it supports our Siddhanta. He may say that, Narayana Parovyaktat. Shankaracharya says, Narayana is transcendental even to the whole material nature. That, Prabhupada quotes that very often, Shankaracharya. Because it suits our philosophy. Narayana is transcendental to material nature. Even the Mayavadis say that, and the fact that even the Mayavadis say that helps make our position stronger, that even our opponents have to agree with this. Narayana is not anything material. He's beyond everything material. But the other bad side of it is, from the Mayavadis, is that they say that Narayana, although he's not material, he's not the ultimate reality. He's an illusion. He's a transcendental illusion, spiritual illusion. That part we don't like. We don't go around quoting that part. Or if we quote it, we only quote it to defeat it. But the fact that Narayana is transcendental to Prakriti, great. And if even the Mayavadis say it, we'll quote them. And that's basically what Vopadeva is saying. The supreme abode of Vishnu is the supreme abode. Even the places of the demigods are actually controlled by Vishnu. So I don't think doing that, Jiva Goswami quoting this, is unfairly representing what Vobhadev said. He said it. Shankaracharya says the same thing. So we're not misrepresenting them by quoting them here.
But then somebody who knows
okay, but those are two different points, two separate points. It's not that there are two separate points of their philosophy. One is that Vishnu is beyond everything material, and the other one is that Vishnu is a distorted form of Brahman. It's not the pure Brahman. But that's a separate point. We're not hiding or twisting, and we're not misrepresenting their philosophy when we quote the acceptable part. And elsewhere, now we're not coming out and saying, Jiva Goswami is not saying, therefore we and the Mayavadis have the same philosophy. But Jiva Goswami doesn't say that. And elsewhere he does talk about the bad part and argue against it. So that's honest. If he would come out and say, well, there's no difference. See, we believe the same as the Mayavadis. That would be dishonest. But he doesn't do that.
So you can also comment. Can you add that what like Prabhupada tells the communists that the communists are also accepting Lenin's authority. We are also accepting Krishna's authority. So
everybody's accepting some authority.
Yes, so Prabhupada is taking this particular point from them.
Yes.
Is something you can...
Yeah, except for that's not part of their belief. It's not like, although, yeah, it is sort of, but it's not part of their official philosophy that we believe in authority. But it's a fact. They do believe in authority. So what's the difference? You're believing in authority, we're believing in authority. Yes. They think that that's all that's really meaningful in the Vedas. Any ideas in the Vedas, the Karma Mimamsa, their idea is that any supernatural ideas about a supreme God, they're just there to encourage you to do your sacrifices. The only real thing is the instructions for performing sacrifice. That's a materialistic or a ritualistic way of looking at the Vedas. That's a philosophy. There's other people who never even heard of that philosophy or aren't interested in it, and still they're interested in the rituals. They don't have a philosophy to back it up, but they want the rituals because they want the fruits of the rituals. So they're just completely dull. They don't even know this karma mimamsa philosophy. Still, they're interested only in the ritualistic aspect of the Vedas.
So these are two categories for confused persons. So first one are
confused persons.
Confused, yeah. First one are karma mimamsa. Second one are those who don't believe at all.
Yeah, we're just, not very learned. They're just ritualists. They're learned ritualists and ignorant ritualists. Yeah. Okay. And there's lots of particular things taught in the Karma Mimamsa that we do accept, because they present a whole methodology for how to understand the meaning of the Vedic texts, how to interpret Vedas, how to interpret scripture. So that part we do accept. The Acharyas use the methodology of the Mimamsa, but not the beliefs behind it, the beliefs about what is real and what's important. So that's another case of using your opponent's teachings when it's suitable and it's not the part that we specifically disagree with. Shankaracharya is a brilliant philosopher. So a lot of things he does say are useful, are correct. Not every single word he says is wrong. And Jaimini is also one of the greatest rishis, you know, prominent disciple of Vyasadeva. A lot of things he says are very useful.
For example, Sri Prabhupada often quotes the Shankaracharya when he blames, he speaks about Vairagya, about women.
Yes. Yes. So, we can stop now. Any other questions? It's 20 after. Great, 19 after. Okay, thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.